Lord, send us your Spirit and teach us your truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. If you've had a chance to look at the notice sheet for today, you will see we're embarking on a sermon series looking at the Ten Commandments. These were given by God to Moses at Mount Sinai for the Israelites, them having been led out of slavery in Egypt and were about to be settled in the Promised Land. And we're basing the structure of this series on a book entitled Ten, written by J. John. And there are a few copies at the back you can buy if you're interested to read through it yourselves. There are, of course, some who think the commandments are obsolete. In his introduction to the book, J. John acknowledges that this is some people's view. He writes, "Why, they protest, should we burden modern men and women with the primitive code of a nomadic tribe that lived under skin tents in the desert?" Well, it's a fair question. But I trust over the next 10 weeks, we will see the relevance of the Ten Commandments, sometimes known as the Decalogue, or 10 words God has given us. It is perhaps because their importance has been lost that we are facing some of the issues we do today. The breakdown of marriage and family life, the rising crime, the lack of trust and respect. Instead of the Ten Commandments, are they more being considered as the Ten Suggestions? We're following the structure of the book and are starting with the Tenth Commandment and working backwards. And J. John's reason for this is that he sees the First Commandment to be the glowing heart of the law. And so it's easier to spiral in through the outer laws before we come to face-to-face glow of the First Commandment, which of course is the key to them all, as I hope we shall see as we go through. These commandments God gave all these years ago were to enable the Israelites and us to live fulfilled lives. But some may say, is not God a killjoy, giving all those thou shalt nots? But just imagine for a moment a football match with no rules. It would be chaos. Say one team decides to have 40 players instead of 11, and the other team a goal mouth of only a metre wide. That you could trip people up, or that no one knew where the boundary lines of the pitch were. Without rules, no one would know where they were. There would be freedom, but the cost would be frustration, a lack of satisfaction, enjoyment. Laws do not restrict us, but rather free us to live in order and harmony. So the commandments God gave us are not because he's a killjoy, but because he loves us and wants the best for us. To keep them will enable us to live well together and have fulfilled lives. And so we begin with the tenth. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servants, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. This commandment is very different to the other nine. For commandments 1 to 4 are to do with our relationship to God, and 5 to 9 with our relationship to others. These 9 are about our actions and behavior. But the 10th, do not covet, is about our attitude, about what goes on inside us. The dictionary definition of to covet is to desire what someone else has. But I want to say that all desire is not wrong. For instance, the desire to be happy, secure and loved. And Paul, in writing to the Corinthians in his first letter in chapter 14 and verse 1, says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So let me ask you, are you aware of coveting? How many of us have in a restaurant ordered dessert only to see one being delivered to the next table? And when you look, you wish you'd ordered that one. We desire what someone else has. In my last parish, I called in regularly on our baby and toddler group. I'd play with the children and talk with the adults who'd brought them along. Without fail, every time at least one child would be heard crying. And it wasn't because they'd fallen over, but because another child had come to take what they were playing with, a doll, a car, a trike. They desired what someone else had. It's a heart condition we all have, all part of our fallen nature, which takes us back to the beginning of the Bible and the book of Genesis. The story will be familiar. Adam and Eve are in the garden. It's lovely, well stocked, and will provide for all their needs. But there's just one thing, God says. You must not eat from any tree in the garden. But the devil, in the form of a snake, made Eve question God and tempted her to think she was missing something. For the suggestion is, if she eats, she will be like God. And this is what the Bible tells us. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She looked, she longed, she wanted. She was not satisfied with what she had, good as it was, and wanted more. To be like God, and persuaded Adam as well. And there we have the beginning of the sin of coveting. And if we don't believe coveting is part of our fallen nature, why is it advertising is such a big business? They want to feed our desire to have a new improved this or a shiny new that. A gadget that will change your life, supposedly. Some adverts are even set up to deliberately entice you to go one better than your neighbour. For the underlying message is, that will make you fulfilled, satisfied, and happy. Of course, we're being deceived into thinking it's material and other things which will fulfill us instead of going to God who created us. And all this is a matter of the heart, which was the point Jesus was making in that gospel reading from Mark chapter 7. For his point is that it's not what comes from outside, like food in the stomach, which defiles us, but what comes from the heart, from inside. This is what Jesus said. For it's from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. Eve was not content with what God had given. She coveted more. It was true too of King David. We read about in 2 Samuel chapter 11. As king, he was well provided for, but it wasn't enough. He looked at Bathsheba and saw how beautiful she was and desired to have what belonged to someone else, for she was Uriah's wife. His looking and longing led to him breaking not just the 10th commandment, but also the 6th, 7th, and 9th. There are all sorts of things that we can covet: the looks of another, their influence or status. We know there are people who covet more money. It's often why people have a go at the lottery. But for some, it does not bring happiness, but sadly worry and sometimes broken relationships. For some, coveting the lifestyle they see in others have led to long hours of work, but it's detrimental to family life and the couple growing apart. Fame is another thing coveted, and there are some who achieve it only to be disappointed because they always have cameras pointed at them and feel their life is no longer their own. And there are people burdened with debt because they've coveted a bigger house or a new car, and because they've overstretched themselves financially. What they have and doesn't bring pleasure, but anxiety and worry. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Can you see why God included not to covet in the commandments? The things that we're forbidden to covet in Exodus may sound strange, the wife, servants, and farm animals. But as signs of prosperity and self-sufficiency, they are the Old Testament equivalent of what may be translated today as the house, car, food, clothes, or the latest gadget or technology, which we may consider display success. And I'd like you just to note that three times in Exodus 20 and verse 17, God says, neighbor, do not covet your neighbor's this, your neighbor's that, your neighbor's the other. So what we may covet may be seen in those actually quite close to us, perhaps someone living on the road, or could be a friend or family member whose life or lifestyle you may envy. So what is the antidote to coveting? I want to suggest four things. Firstly, because it's one of the Ten Commandments, we need to take the challenge of it seriously. Coveting and envy are tools Satan can use to distract us from pursuing the things that will truly make us happy. And coveting is a destroyer of contentment. And so, secondly, we need to make our focus on Jesus, who we read in Luke 12 and verse 15 says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions. And in John's Gospel says, I have come that you may have life, life in all its fullness. Jesus can meet our deepest needs and encourage us to trust God and to desire the things he would want for us to have, like peace and joy, love, forgiveness, wisdom. Thirdly, to cultivate contentment. As you may know, we live in a flat, and I confess at times to coveting having a garage or shed to keep my tools in, where I could amuse myself and be creative. But then I think, if I did, I would worry that someone might break into it and steal them. So I'm challenged to be content, and also to remember I've been kindly offered the use of someone's garage when I need it. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, says, I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And Paul wrote those words, you may remember, whilst he was in prison. But along with cultivating a sense of contentment is fourthly to have an attitude of gratitude, of not focusing on what we don't have, but to be thankful for what we do have. And can we be generous with what we have in sharing with others? Some months ago, I watched a documentary about three American Franciscan friars who came to make their home in Bradford with a desire to serve the community and make their home a place of welcome. Every month, they would gather all their possessions together and lay them out, and anything they didn't need, put on another table for visitors and others to have. They were living out St. Francis's simple lifestyle. To be grateful and generous is a great antidote to coveting. So I want to suggest a challenge for us for the coming week: to practice contentment and generosity. I conclude as I began with a quote from J. John's book. He writes, "Covetousness seems the least deadly of all the Ten Commandments. Of all of them, it seems the most soft-centered, the one we can most easily live with. That is why it is so perilous." I invite you, just as you sit, to bow your heads as we keep a moment's quiet, a moment's quiet reflection, to ask the question, what is it you most covet? And is it of God?